Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. It is great to see every single one of you. I really don't ever want to take for granted the fact that you're here and that I have an opportunity to open God's Word and to share with you the things that I've been able to learn and study from it. That's a tremendous privilege and opportunity for me. It's not one that I take lightly. And whether you've been coming here before I was here or whether this is your first time to be here at Lost River, we want to welcome you and thank you for your presence and let you know that you're welcomed and that you're honored and that you're loved. And if there's anything that we can do for you to help you, especially if you are visiting and you're new, if there's anything we can do to help you, we would certainly ask you and encourage you to let us know how we can be of assistance to you. This is an exciting morning to me because we're beginning a new series of lessons, a four-part series of lessons on taking personal responsibility, and I'm calling this Own It. Own it. Own your life. Take responsibility for yourself, for your life, for your attitude, for your situation as much as you possibly can. The more responsibility that we take for ourselves and for our lives, the more control we have of our lives and the opportunities that we have to leverage that responsibility into blessings for ourselves and for other people into the future grows stronger and stronger. And so we're going to be talking in the next few weeks about taking responsibility. And I wrote down this morning four things that I want to be true about you and true about me by the end of this four-week period. Four things that I hope that as we study together and as we think and seek to apply these things each day of our lives that will happen, that will change in you and in me over the course of the next 4 weeks. The first is that at the end of 4 weeks, we will be embracing responsibility as a blessing and one of life's greatest opportunities. I hope that I'll be doing that more and that you will. That as I look at my life and I see that there's a lot to do, there are a lot of things to be done, that as I accept and I begin to bear that responsibility, I will see that not as a curse, but as a blessing. And that I will see it as a tremendous opportunity to strengthen myself and to influence the world for good, because that's what responsibility will do for us. Number two, I hope that by the end of this series that we will be making fewer excuses. Don't you ever get tired of excuses? I know you get tired of other people's excuses. Are you ever tired of the excuses that you tell yourself or that you give to other people for why you're stuck where you are right now in life? I hope that by the end of this, we're going to be making fewer excuses, assuming more responsibility. And then thirdly, we'll be leveraging the power of responsibility to create a better future for ourselves and for those around us. Because if we sow the seed of responsibility today, God has made the world in such a way that it will come forth in a harvest in the days ahead that will bless us 100-fold. And I hope that we'll begin to sow those seeds and see and reap those benefits. And then finally, and most importantly, I hope that by the end of this series, we will be better prepared to stand before our Maker and give to Him an account of the life that I have lived. A life that He has given me. Do you ever think about that? That your life is not just your own. Your life is given to you. It's something we've received. It's a gift. And all of the opportunities and responsibilities that are set before you in life are the gift that your God, your Maker, has given to you. And one of these days, you're going to have the privilege, you're going to have the honor, and you should be excited about this to think, I'm going to stand before Him, and I'm going to say, look, Lord, here's what you have given me. Here's what you blessed me with. And here's what I've done with my life and the opportunities that you put into my hand. Are you looking forward to that day? I hope that by the time we get to the end of this series, you just can't wait until that moment when you can give an account for the life that you've lived, because you know you're making the most of the responsibilities that you have in your life. Well, this morning, we're going to dive in on the deep end of the pool and try to get our heads around the significance and the meaning of responsibility. And that's really why I want to do this series, because I want us to really grasp that. I realize, and you would probably agree, that we're living in a time in which there's a crisis of responsibility. There's a responsibility crisis in our culture, in our country. We look around us and we see all kinds of evidence that people are shirking their responsibilities, and as a result, it's affecting our culture at large. And it's contagious. It seems like when I see somebody else not do what they need to be doing, then I sort of think that that's an excuse for me not to do what I should be doing. Why should I if they aren't? And so it begins to create this downward spiral. And so we're living in a time in which people are not taking the burden of life as seriously as they should and shouldering their share of responsibility. And I hope that this lesson, this series of lessons, can help encourage us to do better in that regard. We think a lot in this country about rights. And rights are important. And it's good that we seek our rights and that we defend the rights of others. But with every right that we receive, there comes along with it a responsibility, doesn't there? And if we just demand and are conscious of our rights, but we don't think about the responsibility that coincides with that right, the rights are useless. The rights are unimportant. And so maybe for just a little while, instead of focusing on whether or not I'm getting all of my rights, I need to focus my attention on whether or not I'm taking responsibility for the rights that I already possess. And I know something about you this morning. I know that it bothers you when you see other people not taking responsibility, when people are behaving irresponsibly in your life, and whether it's some group of people out there that you identify as a group of irresponsible people, or whether more likely it's those guys at work who don't do their job, or the people in your family who are shirking their responsibility. There are those underwear laying on the floor again, okay? When we see that, when we recognize that somebody else is not taking responsibility for themselves, it usually results in an emotion or a feeling of anger on our part. There's sort of an injustice about this, because their irresponsibility usually ends up becoming what? Your responsibility. And that is when we begin to become angry about the situation. But how do you feel? How do you feel about your irresponsibility? You're angry when someone else is irresponsible, but that's probably not the emotion or the feeling that you experience when you realize that you have been irresponsible in some way or another. The fact of the matter is that there are a lot of feelings that we all experience, and a lot of things that happen to us when we are irresponsible, and none of them good. In fact, here are some of the things that I thought about, I feel, when I am behaving irresponsibly. Maybe you feel the same way. I feel ashamed. I ought to have done that. I didn't do it. Now, I may want to offer up an excuse. We're going to talk about that some next week. But I realize on some level that I didn't do my job. And I'm embarrassed about that. I'm ashamed of that. That's not a good way to feel. And we don't have to feel that way. Number two, defensive. Somebody calls me out on it. My first reaction, your first reaction, I know what it is, hey, get off my back. I have a lot going on. I'm busy. I was taking care of that. We have a lot of defensiveness, and that affects our relationships as a consequence when we are defensive with one another because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I know that I'm unsatisfied. When I don't do what I need to be doing, when I'm not taking care of my responsibilities, I'm not happy, I'm not content, and I'm not satisfied with my life. And many of us this morning, you may be feeling rather unhappy and unsatisfied with your life, and you don't really understand exactly why, what is the cause, the root cause of this lack of contentment in life, and a very big reason for it is probably right here. You're not shouldering the proper load of responsibility in your life than you should, because when you are doing that, there is a sense of satisfaction that comes with knowing you're doing your job the best that you can. But it's not just the feelings that I have of being ashamed, defensive, and unsatisfied. It's also what objectively happens to me. Not just what I feel about myself inside, but what is actually happening to me is I'm getting weaker. Every time I don't do what I ought to do, I am diminished. I become a little bit less. I am weakened by irresponsibility. I become less competent. The next opportunity that's presented to me, I'll be less able to handle that challenge than I would have been had I handled the last one to the best of my ability. The less I do, the less I am able to do. The more I attack a problem and address it and deal with it the way that I should, the more ready and prepared I am for the next challenge that comes my way. But disobedience and irresponsibility makes me less competent. And then finally, it makes me dispensable. They don't need me around this place if I don't do what I'm here to be doing. I'm not an important part of the team. I'm less valued even in the family or whatever organization or social circumstance I'm in. If I'm not shouldering my share of the burden, nobody's giving it a notice when I'm not in the picture. And so there's a lot of terrible things that happen when I become irresponsible. And it raises a question, that is, why does failing to take responsibility in life have such a devastating consequence and impact on my life? And I believe to understand the answer to that question, we really need to go back to the beginning. The beginning is always a good place to begin, right? And in the beginning, we read this. We read that God created man in his own image. This is what the Bible says about you. It doesn't say that you just sort of morphed your way into where you are out of the mud, but that God, the ultimate and supreme being and intelligence, created mankind in his own image. And that's a remarkable thing to think about. What does it mean to be created in God's own image? I think there's a tremendous amount. We could talk for months about what that alone means. But I want to focus here in Genesis 1 on what it means functionally, what it means on the most practical and doable level. And we're going to get to that in a moment. He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. So God made us. He made us in his own image. And here's what that meant practically, the next verse. God blessed them, man and woman that he made in his image. He blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the ground. Now, when he talks about the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the beasts that live on the field, he's not saying, I want you to be zookeepers. Though that's part of it. We are responsible for the physical creation, for the animals that live in it. But this is what we call a metonymy. It's a fancy word, I know, but it means where you take a part to represent the whole. And God is saying, you are responsible as human beings created in my image for ruling and subduing and governing the entirety of the world. The creatures that swim in the sea below you. So you're responsible for everything below you. The birds that fly in the sky above, you're responsible for everything above you. And all the animals that creep on the earth, everywhere you look in between what lies beneath and above, you're responsible for that. You're responsible to rule over it. You're responsible to subdue it. And it doesn't mean that we are to exploit it in some damaging way. We're responsible for governing it properly. God loves his creation. We as his vice regents, those who rule over his creation under his authority, are to love his creation and deal with it properly. And as we work with this creation, we are to do so in a way that, you know, has regard for the environment, has regard for the animals, has regard for one another. And we're to take this responsibility in all of life, seriously, because we were made for this. That's the title of today's lesson, by the way. You were made for this. You were made for this. You were made to be a responsible agent ruling over God's world, doing all the duties and tasks that are set before you. God put you here to do that. Now, you may be thinking, wait a minute. I thought God put us here so he would have somebody to go to church and get baptized and observe the Ten Commandments and do things like this. Well, thousands of years before there was Ten Commandments, thousands of years before there was the temple, there was this: God giving mankind a job to rule and to subdue the world. And so work, responsibility, is a fundamental part of what it means to be a human being created in the image and likeness of God. So, I think that helps explain why this is such a big deal, don't you? It's such a big deal because irresponsibility fades the image of God in you. You cease to be like God, or you become less like God as you shirk your responsibility. And yet when you respond well to what God has placed before you, and when you do your job as best you can, you sharpen the image of God in you. You become more God-like. You become a godlier person. So the question then rises, what does it mean to subdue and rule over creation as God's image bearer? Well, as God is a good father, and as any good father would, he shows us how to do this. And in the context of Genesis 1, he takes it upon himself to show us as his image bearers and his sons and daughters what it means to govern and rule and work and subdue the earth. You may remember the story, going back to the beginning of chapter 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you and I can't do this. This isn't something we're really going to repeat. But God, out of nothing, brought everything into existence. But he chose, and we're going to see part of the reason why, for a very good reason, not to simply instantaneously create the world as a finished, perfect place. God likes a process. He likes to bring things from a lower ordered state to a higher ordered state, from an infancy to maturity. And you see that process running all through the Bible. But in the beginning, he creates it all. But notice what it says. At that initial moment of creation, the earth was formless and empty. Earth was void, some translations put. The idea is that this creation was this disordered shape, almost unshaped, undifferentiated mess is the idea. But darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, the Spirit of God is the agent of God that he uses to bring things from one point of development to the next, from one stage of glory to an increasing stage of glory. And you know the story. If you're familiar with Genesis 1, what happens? On the first day, he says, "Let there be light," and then he speaks into this amalgamation of matter and energy, and he separates the light from the dark. Remember that? And then, having separated the two, he names them. He says, "We're going to call the light time day, and we're going to call the night time night." And he said, "This is a good thing." So he reaches into a chaotic situation, and he separates one thing from another, naming them light and day, speaking words of clarification, and creating order out of chaos. I think the clearest place to see this is down in verses 9 and 10. This is the third day of creation, where God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." I'm really glad God did that. You know why? Because if he hadn't, you and I would be living in the mud right now, right? There was no sea and dry land. There was just mud everywhere. And God says, that's not good. I want to make it better. And so he separated the two, and he made the waters form what he then called, he named them, the sea. And then he talked about that part, which was not sea, the land, and he named it the land. So he, again, faces up to the challenge, the responsibility before him. He thinks about it. He separates it. He extends his hands, if you will, into the creation, and he separates these things. He names them. So we've got handles on it now, and we begin to make more and more sense. And this is what he does in each successive day of creation. I'm going to spend much more time on this, but notice that each day God ends the day and says, it was good. But that doesn't mean it was as good as it could be. And every day you face situations like God faced after he had made everything and it was just a chaotic mess. You every day you wake up to what? A whole new set of problems. There's chaos. There's confusion. Things are mixed up. And you face that and you have to step forward into that. And you have to begin separating this from that, sometimes in the most literal way imaginable. If you're a housewife, you've got a pile of nondescript laundry, okay? What in the world is that? I don't even know what that is. It's useless in its present form. So what do? You begin to separate the socks out, okay? You're going to get all the socks over here, all the underwear over here, all the shirts over here. Then we're going to match up and pair the socks. And then if you're in my family, it's going to be, this is Janice's pile, this is Lawrence's pile, this is Joshua's pile. And you're constantly looking at it, you're moving things around, and then you're naming it what it is after you have finished the process, which is exactly what your God, your Father, your Creator did. And at the end of 6 days, he said, okay, now it's your job. I've shown you how, now you take it, and you go with it from here. You are now to rule and reign over the earth in the way that I have done this. And so if you're an electrician and you go to work and there's wires all over the place, you've got to reach out, take your hands, hopefully carefully, and figure out what goes where, label it appropriately, and when you're finished, you have a working product that you can say, this is good. You know, if you're an accountant, you go to work and there are numbers everywhere. And what in the world do these numbers mean? I don't know. I haven't a clue. And the person who's hired you as an accountant, they don't know either. And it's your job to apply your mind and begin to speak words and rearrange and put this over here, whatever a credit and a debit is. I still to this day don't know. But you do, and that's what's important. And at the end of it, you can return this to the person who's hired you and say, this is a profit. This is your loss. And all the other magic things that accountants do by separating and doing exactly the kind of thing that God showed us, our Father showed us in the beginning of creation in that first week as a pattern for us to follow. So that tells you what you need to do. You need to speak light into the void. You need to separate light and dark. And you need to name things appropriately to their new state of being. Now, to bear God's image then is to get up every day and ask, what is before me that I can make better? What in my life do I have an ability to apply my mind and my hands to improve it? What can I make better in the world today? Where there's darkness, where there's confusion, where there is disorder, uncertainty, and unfinished business, and it's within your grasp to do something about it, that's your responsibility. And as a creature made in the image of God, you have this unbelievable power to actually enter into that chaos and bring order out of it. That's an amazing thing. And the more of that you do, and the better at it you get, the more God-like you become, the more you reflect the image of the one who made you and made you for this purpose. You were made for this. And every time we don't do it, we don't feel like it, we say it's somebody else's job, we grow weaker, and that functional image of God fades a little bit more in us. We become weaker and less content and less useful. And so let's take responsibility for ourselves, for our lives, and for the world and the work that God set before us. Jesus teaches us an extremely important principle that I really want us to focus on for just a moment, then we're going to wrap up. And that focus is right here in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. And Jesus said, whoever can be trusted, and we can use the word responsible here for this, whoever is responsible with very little can be responsible with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. When I was a teenager and I was working my first job as an electrician's helper, I hadn't been on the job too long when I told my boss one morning, hey, Mr. Gandy, I think I'm ready for a promotion. I was tired of the menial work that I was asked to do. And I really did think I was ready to step up and do something a little bit more important. And he looked at me and he said, did you clean out the truck and gas it up at the end of the day yesterday like I asked you to? And I said, well, the truck wasn't really that dirty, and I just figured we'd get gas on the way to the first job this morning. He just looked at me and smiled. And he said, when you can do the job I gave you and hired you to do right, the way I told you, I'll be happy to talk to you about a promotion. That was a ouch, right? That was a valuable lesson. And I haven't forgotten it to this day. Because he knew something that I didn't understand. Yeah, he could have given me a bigger job, more important responsibilities. I wouldn't have been able to handle them. I couldn't handle the simple job he had given me. What makes me think I'm ready for the next thing in life if I can't handle the first things in life? And maybe that's who you are, a young person here this morning. You're chomping the bit. You want a chance to prove yourself. How do you do that? You just think, if somebody just give me a big shot, I'd show the world what I could do. Jesus says, no. To borrow a phrase from Jordan Peterson, clean your room, okay? That's what you need to do right now. If your room isn't clean, you are not ready to fix the world. And as he goes on, and I think rightly says, it's one of the problems that we have with so much that's going on in the world today is we have a lot of people who don't have a clean bedroom trying to come up with solutions to the world's problems. You are unqualified, unprepared to do so, and your room proves it. And that's a very basic illustration of that point, isn't it? But we get that. And on some level, we know it. If I'm not doing the very best with what it is set before me right now, there is no reason to expect that I would do any better with a bigger job. And so maybe you're not that teenager. Maybe you're not that young person. Maybe you're a little bit older. Maybe you're middle-aged and people still aren't trusting you with any responsibilities. There's probably a good reason for it. Again, ouch. Are you taking full advantage of doing the very best you can, improving yourself competent, and growing your ability to take on more responsibility by doing your best, shouldering your tasks that are right in front of you today? That's the question for us. And so I want to close with this morning. In what ways or what areas of life could you become more responsible? What are the areas in life that you could become more responsible in? And these aren't all the areas of life, but that's certainly some critically important ones. Spiritually, first and foremost, your relationship with God, your moral walk with Him in this world, are you taking that responsibility seriously? Are you, doing the spiritual disciplines that you need to develop yourself spiritually? Reading your Bible, praying, attending services like this, spending time with other people who can build you up and encourage you, making good choices and right decisions. Are you doing the things that you need to be doing, taking care of yourself spiritually? Are you emotionally taking responsibility for yourself. This is a huge thing. We act like we are not responsible for our emotional state. That I don't have any control over the way that I feel. It simply isn't true. When we wake up in the morning, we need to take charge of the fact that I'm responsible for my mood and the way I present myself to the rest of the family. I can't just tell everybody, well, that's just the way I am. You have to put up with the fact that I'm just a grouch. No, you need to change. You need to take responsibility for your mood, for your attitude, and present yourself to others in a way that is kind and good and helpful. And the amazing thing is, you actually can do this, right? I can do this. It's not easy all the time. But when we act like it's out of our control, I'm not responsible for it, I can't do anything about it, then that's exactly right, we can't. But when we take ownership and we say, no, God made me a responsible human being in His image, and I can take control of this area of my life, and I'm going to control the way I feel and the way I emote. And then thirdly, physically. We ought to take care of the bodies that God has given us. Every day is a choice that we make about how we're going to treat that body that God has given us. I want to make the most of it. I want to do the very best that I can with this wonderful gift of my physical life that God's given me, my relationships. We'll talk about this some more in the weeks to come. You know, there's the pie chart of your relationships, right? And the problems in your relationship, I know your part of that problem is a tiny, tiny, tiny slice, right? Guess which part of the slice you need to focus on? I need to focus on the slice that's my part. I need to take responsibility for my relationships, and if there's chaos and problems there, I need to look at the part that I can control, and I need to put myself to work at making it better. Every day, just like God got up in the morning, yesterday was good, but today I'm going to make it a little bit better. And vocationally, the same thing holds true. There's all these different areas of our life where we can either be paralyzed in helplessness and irresponsibility and saying, I have no control over these things, or we can recognize that as an image bearer of God, I have the power to take control of these areas of my life and gradually, over the process of time, make these situations better. And if you do that, how would your life change? Just imagine for a moment. How would your life change if you took responsibility in that area that most needs it in your life, and you really took responsibility over that for the next 6 months, every day in that area, you said, I'm going to make it a little bit better. I may not can fix the whole thing at once. You can't. But I can today apply my mind, put my hand to the task, apply new words that will make sense of the disorder and begin to move the situation in a positive direction. If you did that every day for 6 months, what might that disarrayed, chaotic, disastrous area of your life look like in just 6 months? And finally, what first step could you take today toward accepting responsibility, taking responsibility toward that goal? You know, Jesus, the New Testament tells us, is the perfect image of God. So we're all image bearers of God, but because of our sin and because of our irresponsibility, that image is somewhat washed out and faded and in some ways even twisted. But when Jesus came, He was the perfect representation of God. He imaged God in the world, not only by what He was in His nature, but by what He did in His actions. And He spoke words, just like God did in the beginning. Jesus spoke words into the darkness of the world. The world was a terrible place. The world was an unbelievably dark place. And Jesus spoke words of light and life and truth into that darkness. And those words that He spoke into the darkness began to change and alter the world and brought to pass a reality that is utterly different than the reality that existed in the world before Jesus lived and spoke into that darkness. And Jesus took His hands and He reached out and He healed and He fed. and he rearranged and reconfigured things so that when Jesus was finished, the world was infinitely better than it was before. And he is our example. He is our pattern. At the end of his life, he went forward and he lifted up a cross. He lifted up a cross and he bore it to Calvary's hill, and hell only knows how heavy that cross was. And I pray that you'll never find out. But understand this, Jesus, the ultimate image bearer of God and burden bearer alone, could bear that weight. And so that's a burden you can't bear, the burden of your sin and guilt and the shame that attaches to it. And so our encouragement to you is, if you have not done so, to bring that to Jesus, to bring him the weight and the burden of sin that you can't carry, and cast your burdens on him. He invites you to do it. He alone has the shoulders broad enough and strong enough to bear your burden. And so come and give him your burden and give him your life, and he will begin to shape and transform and change you so that you are able to bear the burdens you are called to bear more responsibly than you ever have before. If we can encourage you to do that, put him on in baptism, strengthen you to walk with him, or pray with you that you might do so more effectively, then we'd be honored to do that. Any way we can help, let us know while we stand and while we sing.